Padre nuestro que estás en los cielos, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad en la tierra como en el cielo. El pan nuestro de cada día, dánoslo hoy. Perdónanos nuestras deudas, como también nosotros perdonamos a nuestros deudores. No nos metas en tentación, sino líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, el poder y la gloria por todos los siglos. Amén.
Amen. Last week we met the Davises, and there's great anticipation and excitement about the possibility that we'll be able to go to Spain with them to spread the gospel. How exciting that every week we get to hear from across the world what you are doing in spreading the gospel. And we want to say right off the bat, thank you so much for the way that you gave to Mission Sunday. We busted right past our goal, and here is what we had on Thursday, $262,927.57. And I know that's just the beginning. So how exciting that not only do we get to keep going where we've been, but we get to explore new places. If you've been with us for a while, if you're our guests, we've been studying through what's commonly called the Lord's Prayer, might be more accurately called the Disciples' Prayer. But the truth is, almost all of us struggle with prayer. Often we find it, quite frankly, boring or a drag, or just a duty or a ritual. If you're like me, I have a hard time staying focused. Often you've prayed 2 minutes and you think you're through. And I really don't know hardly anybody who actually, if you ask them about their prayer life, would say, you know, buddy, I'm killing it. I mean, I got that thing down pat, man. Now, I know some people in this church that I could guess that about, but for most of us, it's more of a struggle. And so we need help. I love the interview years ago that the famous interviewer Larry King did with Mother Teresa. And so he's discussing these things. And so finally he's asking her about prayer. And he says to Mother Teresa, what do you say when you pray to God? What do you say to God? And she said, I don't say anything. I just listen. And then he says, well, what does God say to you? And she says, he doesn't say anything. He just listens. Well, I think I know where she's coming from, but if I can be honest, that probably didn't help Larry King very much. And it didn't help me very much. But what Jesus says should revolutionize and change our prayer life. Let's go back through what we've been through. The first line is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. The prayer starts with praise. We think about God as our Abba, loving, intimate Father, and yet also our holy, perfect, beautiful God. And then we come to your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We start with praise, and then we are reminded of our priority. Our priority is for the kingdom of God to come to this earth. There's a gap between what God wants and between what's going on here. And our job and our prayer is for that gap to be filled. Listen, that one line implies that prayer changes things. It implies that things happen that would not have happened unless you prayed. And it also implies things don't happen unless you ask God. And then we get to our line today, rather anticlimactic, if I could be honest. Give us today our daily bread. Honestly, it seems a little bit out of place. We've praised him, we've got our priorities right, and now we're asking for provision. And so let's just stop in this moment and think for a moment. We've gone from your kingdom come to give us some bread. From the majestic heights of bringing heaven to earth to the earthiness of just giving me some food for every day. It does seem almost a little out of place, but I think it's right in the perfect place. And if you take it out of this place, I think there's some dangers. there's some danger if you get to give us our bread too quickly. Because if what I do is I just come before God with my Walmart shopping list and say, God, give me this and give me this and give me this and give me this and give me this, I've missed out on putting God on the throne and putting my life on the path of his priorities. On the other hand, there's a danger if I don't get there at all. You might get the idea that God really doesn't want to know what you need or what you want or what you desire. That's just not the truth. Our Father wants us to ask. We're not talking to some reluctant dictator who might give us some crumbs from his table. We are talking to a loving, benevolent Father who wants to give us all things that we need. And so don't start that way. That, if I can confess, for too long in my life, I started with the Walmart list. Not a very effective prayer. Don't start too quickly there, but don't forget that God wants to hear from you. So it's a daily, I believe, reset of our hearts. This prayer expresses some really important things. First of all, it expresses our dependency on God for everything. Listen, bread is the most basic necessity for life. Every culture in the history of the world, when it gets down to a minimum, emphasizes some type of bread. Why? Because it's easy, it's inexpensive, all you need is grain, water, and heat. In ancient times, it had a relatively long shelf life. It's easy to divide and share, and it begins to give a nutritional background. So bread's a big deal. It's a necessity. That's why even to today, we still use things to express that when we say, he or she is the breadwinner in that house. It's what's necessary. Now, the only trouble with that passage is the word daily. It's a very unusual Greek word. In fact, it's only used two times in the New Testament. Once here and once in Luke's rendition of the Lord's Prayer. And translators have always had a hard time translating it because forever they could not find it in any other Greek source. Finally, a few decades ago, a little piece of papyrus had this word on it, and it was a woman's shopping list. It was literally what she needed for the coming day. And that's what he's getting out. What are your needs for the coming day? Now, let's just be really honest, because we have a hard time relating to this. For much of the world, they are literally asking, I need food for tomorrow. Had a great conversation with our brother Jimmy Dobbs, who spends so much time in Malawi and Tanzania, two of the places you supported last week. And literally, when you especially go out in those villages, they don't know. They're not sure. They're asking, will there be anything for dinner today? And so this prayer to them is a very, very literal prayer. And that's why when we go into places like Tanzania, where some of our most effective ministry has been, we follow the model of Jesus. You feed people food before you feed them the gospel. So for some people, it's very, very literal. But for others of us, we don't see it that way. As soon as Jesus said this, the people there had to be thinking of that incredible story in Exodus when they're coming into the wilderness and God gives them manna from above, bread from above. And that bread was made that you could only gather enough for that day. If you gathered more than for that day, it would absolutely spoil. The only exception is before the Sabbath, you could gather for 2 days. The bread that God would give them just exactly enough for the day. And Father, and guys, that is our promise from this prayer. God's going to give us. He may not give you everything you want, but he's going to give you what you need. And so as you look at your week and you pray this prayer, there may be some of you who are praying, Lord, give us, help this food on this table to stretch to meet our needs. Help my budget to be able to pay these home repairs I didn't expect. The retiree who's asking, God, I'm not so sure what I've saved is going to make it. For that health issue that's bearing upon you. For your marriage that's hanging by a thread. It's the prayer for those things. Lord, what you need, and you have great permission and encouragement from Jesus, pray about what you need for that day. So that's the first thing he expresses. But this prayer also goes further than that. It expresses our responsibility to those in need. For those of us who have enough, in fact, most of us in this room, we have more than enough. None of us are worried about if we're going to eat lunch today. Then the part of the prayer that speaks to us is, give us today our daily bread. So the prayer implies to us our responsibility to those in need. For those of us who have enough, this prayer puts on us a responsibility to pray for those and to share with those who don't have enough. It's an offering of my hands to give and to feed. That's why I'm so excited about this new ministry that Jim and Jill Sanderson have started called The Least of These, that we want to be in our city ministering to people who don't have what we take for granted. Many of us went to this incredible conference this week called Remission, and one of the greatest blessings, honestly, was Nathan rounded up a college student to go with us, and he was quite inspiring. And on the way back, I got to sit with him on the van, and he was telling me, this guy's a Bible major at Faulkner University, telling me about a ministry he has taken up. He goes to East Chase looking for homeless people. I thought, East Chase, is that the place? He said, yes, buddy, you'd be surprised, the homeless people walking there. Here's what he does. He meets them and he takes them to a restaurant and he feeds them and he shares the gospel. My goodness, what an example to us. And what an answer to this prayer. So the prayer, it's a prayer for daily needs. It's a prayer for others' needs. And it's also pointing, you cannot get around this, to our necessity for spiritual food. You see, when we talk about bread and we look at the full context of Scripture, it's more than just literal bread. So what happens here in this prayer, and then we're going to get real specific in just a moment about spiritual bread, a necessity. But please remember this prayer, though it may seem like a really minor throwaway line, it almost seems like it's out of place after what we've already prayed. It is a daily reset for those who have food, asking for food. For those with abundance, offering ourselves to help people without. And for all of us, it points to a bread that will truly satisfy. So I want to share with you four spiritual breads that you need. Now, I want to remind you, all of these things are called bread. It means they are a necessity. They're not optional, okay? Number one, the Word of God. When Jesus prayed this prayer, still ringing in his disciples' ears, had to be what he had said to Satan. Jesus answers, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You see, Scripture is described as a spiritual necessity, that it's bread. Listen to what Jeremiah says in chapter 15. Your words were found and I ate them. I ate them. And your words became a joy and a delight in my heart. Now listen to what Peter says. Like newborn infants, long for pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. My friends, whether you are a brand new Christian or you've been a Christian all your life, you are not going to spiritually thrive without feeding upon the Word of God. It's a necessity. You know, we live in a culture that's gone crazy on us. I heard someone say a line at Remission this week that I thought was so powerful. We used to look up to God for truth, okay? We actually believed that there was a standard from God that tells us what's right and wrong and what's true. But the speaker then made this point. In American culture today, we don't look up for truth, we look in for truth. We say, search your heart. What do you feel? What do you believe? We have the audacity to say, what is your truth for your life? Can you answer this question? Where's that getting us? Everybody's got their own separate truth. There is no standard of right and wrong. And yet, guys, with all the bombardment through social media, all the bombardment through Netflix and TV, the world is feeding a whole lot more time, feeding us its truth. If we don't stay grounded in the Word of God, we are in trouble. So it's a necessity. Number two, a necessity is the mission of God. We read this passage last week. Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. That's food. Now, what is Jesus doing here? He's in the middle of that encounter with that ostracized Samaritan woman. Even his own disciples are embarrassed that he would talk to her, that he would reach out to her, that he would break down barriers. But Jesus says to us, forget you. This fills me up. This is my food. Jesus went out to those who were ostracized, those who were left out. A Samaritan was known to Jewish people as a half-breed. They didn't even want to walk through Samaria, more or less talk to a Samaritan. And yet throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus goes to the people that everybody else, including the religious people, ostracized, the leper, the paralyzed person, the adulterous woman, the sinful woman, the Samaritan woman, the man who's rejected God. Jesus breaks down those barriers. He even goes to Gentiles. Part of our mission is to reach those who culture ostracizes. That's part of our food. This week's been a hard week. There's been a lot of talk about racism. There's been a lot of hurt. Whoever you want to blame for it, there's been hurt. If we want to say there's no hurt, we don't understand what's going on. And I tell you, we have been called as the people of God, as the people who heal that hurt. We have been called as the people of God not to build barriers and to build walls. We have been called as the people of God to break down barriers just like Jesus. Now, that may not be popular, but let me tell you this. Jesus was crucified to do this, and I better be willing to be criticized to do it. God's people should look different, we should treat people different, and we should not put up with this kind of ostracization of people. We're the place that says, come, we love you. Come, we accept you. We're not using the standards of the world to draw lines. We love the immigrant. We love the person who looks different than us. The Bible says this over and over and over again. So we're the people. And if you're hurt this week, I pray this is a safe place for you to be healed. So let's go to another food. This is a really crazy good one. In talking about food, in John chapter 6, Jesus has fed 5,000 people. That was just men, probably 11 or 12,000 with women and children. And Jesus sneaks away and goes across the lake to Capernaum. Well, they're getting hungry again, so they're looking for him. And so they cross the lake, and they come to find him. And just look at a couple things here. John chapter 6, First of all, Jesus busts them. Verse 26, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." Jesus calls them out, says, "Guys, the only reason you're looking for me, the only reason you crossed the Sea of Galilee, only reason, is because you wanted me to feed you again. And I don't mind doing that, but I've got something so much better for you." They say, "Hey, give us more of that food." And then Jesus says something we need to hear today, verse 30. So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do?" And again, they go back to that manna. "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, oh, I love this, "Very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who's given you bread from heaven, but it's my Father. He gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us this bread." And then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Oh my goodness. Guys, the bread we need more than any other bread, it's a necessity for your spiritual survival, is the Son of God. He is the true bread from heaven. He's what truly fulfills us. I love the old statement. You've probably heard it before, but I think it's so true here. In every one of us, there is a God-shaped void that only God can fill. And Jesus says, "You're hungry? You're unsatisfied? You're struggling through life, trying to find your purpose? You keep throwing some junk food, trying to fill it up? Oh, please, please, listen. It's right in front of you," Jesus says. "It's right in front of you. It is me. I am the bread of life. I can fulfill your deepest meaning, for purpose, for forgiveness, for love. It all starts with me." Now, you might chase after that next purchase or that next Netflix special to calm your nerves, or that next bashing of filling your body with more food, comfort food. It might be that next girlfriend. It might be that next job. It might be, oh, we could go on and on with bad things and good things. It might be that addiction. It might be, but here's what Jesus is saying, guys. Stop chasing those things. Some of those things are good if you got them. They're good if you don't have them. But the only thing that's really going to fill you up is me. Your deepest hunger is me. So I want to tell you three things about this church that will always be true, according to what is the bread of life. If you're our guest today, I want you to know what we're about. If you're a member today, I want to remind me and you of what will always be true in this church. Number one, Scripture will always be our standard. Number two, Jesus is our Savior. Number three, breaking down barriers is our strategy. According to Jesus, we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. So if you want to know what kind of church you're visiting today, we will always hold up Scripture. That's our standard. We will always hold up Jesus. He's the only one who can fill us. And we will join Jesus on his mission, not to build walls, but to break down walls. That better always be true. So let's bring this to a great practical head. Number four, the bread of life is the Lord's Supper. You know, the Lord's Supper, shorthand through Scripture, is simply called what? Breaking bread. So one of the things that fulfills us One of the things that is a necessity is what we're about to do. If there's anything we would ever cut from our service, this better not be it. Because this is what feeds us. I know it may not look like much, but it symbolizes everything we've talked about so far. Jesus is the bread of life. I love what a book written by a man named Philip Keller says. When we want to meet God, we Christians don't go up on a high mountain. We don't rummage around in our psyches. We don't hold hands, close our eyes, and sing Kumbaya. Wouldn't that be fun? Listen, we gather and break bread in Jesus' name. That is where he has chosen to meet us. Don't you like that? Now, in our passage, if we went a little further, Jesus freaked some people out by talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. But thank goodness, in retrospect, we know what he was talking about. And so those of us who are tempted to make this a routine moment, just a ritual we need to check off the box, we need to repent. And we need to understand that through the next few moments, we are truly eating the bread of life and drinking the cup of his blood. I don't believe in transubstantiation, the doctrine that it literally becomes the bread and blood of Jesus, but neither do I believe we are about to eat a cracker and a little grape juice. Listen, what's about to happen is big. In fact, I want to remind you, the reason it's called bread is because it's a necessity. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for Jesus coming and for Jesus being the bread of life. And God, thank you for what you have given us at least weekly, Father, to remember that, to partake of that, to be full, to be fulfilled. God, what we're about to do is such a beautiful thing. We are called to sit at your table and to break bread with your son and to be filled with his presence, to be changed, to fill the emptiness and the void we find in this crazy, hectic world where the world says, if you really want to have life, go out and do as many things as you can plan. Just stay busy so you don't have to think. In this moment, we calm down, we slow down to understand the only thing that will fill us is the bread of life, your son, Jesus. I pray this in his name. Amen. Well, we started a little while ago talking about our struggle with prayer. And I hope as we're going through this model prayer that we're going to get past some of that struggle. Because here's what I believe is the goal of prayer. The goal of prayer is the enjoyment of God. It's more than just getting something done. It's more than just asking God to do his will on this earth. Those are part of it. It's more than just asking for things, because sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. It's enjoying God. It's moving from something that seems to be a ritualistic practice to something that is an absolute pleasure. I like this quotation from Max Lucado. The kitchen in God's house is no restaurant. It's not owned by a stranger. It is run by your loving Father. It's not a place to visit and leave. It's a place to linger and chat. It's not open 1 hour and closed the next. The kitchen, the bread is ever available. You don't eat and pay. You eat and say thanks. So our goal is to learn to pray like Jesus and to just enjoy being with our Father. And so it starts with our Father in heaven, hallowed, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we get to give us today our daily bread. So I'd like you to stand. And I want us to pray this prayer today. And I want to invite you to pray. I'm going to set it up. Then I'm going to ask you just to silently pray. If it helps you to put your hands out in a receiving posture, do that. But I'd like you to pray today in obedience to Jesus. What do you need for tomorrow? What do you want to ask him for? He's a loving daddy. He wants to hear from you. He wants to bless you. If he doesn't think it's good for you, he'll withhold it. If he thinks it's good for you, he'll give it. If he thinks something's better for you, he'll give you that. So I'm going to set up with the words Jesus said, and then we'll have quite a few moments of silence for you to ask God for what you need. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And now, Father, we ask you to give us our daily bread. We pray this in the name of your blessed Son who taught us how to pray, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just remain standing. We're about to sing our song of invitation. If today there's a void in your life and you're hungry, you've tried all kinds of junk food, and temporarily you feel fulfilled. But then as soon as it's over, you're back to that emptiness. When we challenged you a few weeks ago to get in a room all by yourself and spend alone time with God with no noise, nothing else, you felt extremely uncomfortable. It's a sign that there's something that's missing. And God wants to be that bread for you. You see, when we take a kernel of grain and make it bread, the first thing that happens is that kernel is broken, it's crushed, and is grounded into a fine flour. When God's Son Jesus wanted to give you real bread, the same thing happened. He was broken, he was crushed, he was grounded, his body was broken, his blood was shed, so that he could become for you the bread of life. So this morning, if you need to come and be prayed for, if today's your day to embrace Jesus as your Savior, if you're tired of the emptiness and want to be filled, we'd love to pray for you. You're not responding to me or this church. You're responding to the one who is willing to be crushed and broken so that he could be your bread of life. Come right now as we stand and sing.